The Mac Observer's Mac Geek Gab number 73 for October 8th, 2006. And here we go. Greetings, folks. Welcome to the Geek Gab for Sunday, and it's sunny outside, which is odd for us. We're usually holed up at night. Yeah, the light hurts my eyes. Turn that off. So some scheduling stuff made this work a little bit better for us this week, at least for me. So thanks, John, for accommodating.
Yeah, Monday the kids get off usually, right?
Yeah, the kids are off tomorrow, but I've got something going on tomorrow night. So we are back from PME, the Portable Media Expo, where
PPME,
that's right. Yeah, whatever it is.
PME. Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, that was fun. I did want to mention something about the last podcast we did, number 72, with that snowball. When I listened back, it sure sounded like things were breaking up, but I remember while we were recording it, looking at the levels and nothing was peaking. Well, apparently, it's very difficult to make that mic peak. It's something about the electronics inside limit the signal coming out, so it never will actually register a peak in Audio Hijack, at least, which is what we were using on the MacBook Pro there. And so it was overmodulated inside the mic, but obviously never showing up on the VU meter, so we never noticed it. So for next time, we will know better, and the snowball does sound even better than what you heard the last time. So just wanted
to
mention that.
Well, you tweaked one of yours. You had firmware.
If you're an owner of one of those blue snowballs, they actually have two different firmware updaters online. One that sets it to a very low gain mode for close miking of vocals or amplifiers, instruments, even drums, whatever. And then one in a very high gain mode for what we were doing last weekend. And it's important to, and you actually have to update the firmware to change it. It's not like you have a switch or something on the device that lets you do it. So very, very important to know, because I had one here and it was by default in, very low gain mode. And I thought, wow, this is pretty much useless for what I want to use it for. Works great. So well worth remembering. Today's show is about keyboard shortcuts. This is something that you have all been asking about for a while in various capacities. It's something John has kept saying to me, we got to do a show about shortcuts. We got to do one. Well, here we are. So we've done quite a bit of research this week, digging up some keyboard shortcuts. I'm sure that not only did we not find all of the keyboard shortcuts that are available, but we certainly won't have time to go through all of the keyboard shortcuts that are available. But we're going to touch on it and hopefully spark some conversation here. Please feel free to send in all of your comments and responses and any shortcuts if you found that you think would be cool to share with the rest of the listening audience. And we'll be sure and keep this conversation going. Go ahead.
Now, should we agree? Because there's one thing I've noticed about the keyboard is that, to add to the fun, some of the keys, especially a lot of the ones we're going to talk about, have multiple names. So maybe we should get that out of the way first.
Actually, that's a great idea, John. Yeah. Okay. that's fantastic. Okay. So we're talking about that key with it's got like a triangle with the line through it right in the middle. Or are we just going to call that the A key today?
which one? Which key are you talking about?
What keys? Maybe you better clarify, John. Keys are you talking about?
Well, I'll talk about because I don't think I have some of the keys that you're talking about, depending on what you have. But I was talking about, so for example, the first one has many names. It is sometimes called Command.
Right.
It is sometimes called Apple.
Right.
And I've heard also some people, because there's this funky little symbol on there, also call it a Clover.
Right.
I think I'm going to stick. Well, if we weave between the two, because I think we may, I would say Apple and Command are probably the two most popular designations for that one key that's usually closest to the space bar.
Command is the one that Apple refers to it as, but obviously, if you say Apple, we'll know what that means. So, and then the one next to it, or the one that's usually next to it on Apple's keyboards, is always labeled Option. But if you're using a Windows keyboard or a generic universal keyboard, as it were, it may be labeled Alt, right?
Yes. And so, the keyboards I have that. So those are the two that are kind of ambiguous. The others, Control and FN or Function, I'd say those are pretty consistent.
Yeah, although on depending on your keyboard, you may not have an FN button because you may just have if you're not on a laptop or an iMac, you may not have an FN button. Actually, and I don't even know if the iMac would have it, right? It's just the...
No, I don't think so, because actually right now the keyboard I'm using, because the other one succumbed to a unfortunate liquid catastrophe.
Yeah.
this is one of the ones that I believe came with one of the early iMacs that I just had kicking around here. And yeah, okay. It stops at the control key. There is no function key.
Right, right. All right. So, well, let's go through a couple of our favorite shortcuts. Some of the ones that maybe not favorites, but just some that we found. And then we've got some questions from you and a couple of apps to go through. And then we'll kind of let the final discussion just be sort of a meandering keyboard shortcut melange, as it were. Start us off, John. What's something that you found? Something ever so valuable.
Here's something, and actually this came in handy when we were at PPME.
Yeah.
Because someone was having problems booting their machine, and so the first one that I'd start off with is if you hold down the Option key when you are starting up your Mac, almost most Macs, maybe not all of them, you will get this little guy called the Startup Manager. Mm-hmm. What this does is it shows you all of the devices or volumes that it think it can boot from, with a little caveat that we'll talk about later. But normally, fresh out of the box Mac, if you do that, and that's good, especially if you are having booting problems. What this will tell you is what the Mac can see, and sometimes the Mac can get confused and not know which device to boot from.
Sure.
So I think that's a pretty handy one, especially if you're running into trouble.
All right. Well, there you go. One that I found that really kind of caught my eye. You ever been subscribe to a podcast, perhaps this one, and you say, gosh, you know, three episodes ago, those guys talked about something and I listened to it and then, you know, I deleted it or iTunes deleted the show. I'd love to re-download that show, but it's not in my list anymore in iTunes. I can't find it. Well, if you twist that little triangle for the show closed so that it doesn't show anything in the list and then hold down the Option key and twist it again by clicking, when it opens up, you'll see all of the shows that are in the feed still that iTunes has chosen to ignore because you've already downloaded, listened to, and then processed them through. They will all be listed there. The ones that are in iTunes will be black with just like you normally see them. The ones that aren't there will be gray with a little get button next to it. So that's the way. Otherwise, you'd have to unsubscribe from the show, resubscribe, then go through and remanage all that. That's my shortcut. I'll add one to it, though, because the command button, if you hold down command while you're twisting one of those triangles, whatever you do will apply to all of them. So if you hit command, it will if the one that you click on is open and you hit command, it will twist all of them up and collapse all of them. If you then hold down command and click one that's collapsed, it will expand all of them. And that holds true for the Option key, too. So if you hold command and Option down and expand one of them, all of them will expand and show you everything that's in the feed with all the little get buttons. So there's that's it.
That's it?
That's it on that one. Yeah, what do you got? What's next?
Okay, well, as you can tell, I'm all about starting up your Mac properly. And here's another one. Something that's kind of infuriating about some Macs is that there's really no way to eject a CD. A lot of this it hands over to an eject button, which you may or may not have on your keyboard, depending on what Mac you have. Mm-hmm. But here's one that I've run into also when I had to help someone out with a Mac who that would not give up the CD. It wanted to keep it to itself.
Okay.
When you start up your machine, if you hold down the mouse button or the trackpad button while you're booting the machine, one of the first things it'll do is spit out whatever is in the optical drive. And maybe other drives, but at least the optical drive.
That's right. Well, you know, the interesting thing is that used to be the way to spit out the floppy. Back in the, you know, SE30, Mac Plus, even, you know, any Macs that had the floppy, I guess, up until the iMac. So
So it's pretty consistent. What's also consistent is most Macs have a place to, which you don't want to do this, but if you really get stuck, there's usually a place. I remember the floppies had this, and I think most of the optical drives, a place to put a paper clip to activate the manual mechanical eject that that a lot of optical drives
and I guess
have,
that,
of course,
that,
not.
That too could be a keyboard shortcut. If you took off one of your keys and got like the little thing in there, you could straighten that out and use that part of your keyboard. But of course, it would render your keyboard useless. But that then is a keyboard shortcut. Just don't actually cut yourself. One of my favorites, especially with a laptop, but I do it with some of the desktops too, is Command, Option, and Eject will put the Mac to sleep right away. So, and if you don't if you don't have an Eject button, I believe it's Command, Option, Power will do it too. So, so you can try that right now, John Forrest.
But I know another one is at least on my G5. If you hit the power button, you will get a. What you're saying does it immediately, but I know you can also hit the power button
And bring that
and
up.
Get a menu that gives you choices of what to do. But but that gets right down to it.
Yep. I wanted to tell you, John, our show today is sponsored by TeachMac, of course, available at teachmac.com. Their module maker is out now. TeachMac allows you, it's an environment in which you can learn how to do different things with your Mac. Applications can be taught this way. The Finder, the Mac in general can be taught this way. It shows you movies or stills along with audio content that basically walks you through with visual cues, doing specific operations. If you want to learn how to, say, print photos in iPhoto, you can load up that module, play it through, and it will walk you through this process in a very easy to understand way. You can then use this module maker to create your own modules. And then if you want to, you can either share them with your friends or you can sell them through TeachMac and get a cut of the action there too. They do have two ways of getting TeachMac. One is to simply download the free version and then pay for each of the modules that you want to use. Or you can pay, I believe, $49 a year, and then you have access to every module that's available in TeachMac, and that's all available at teachmac.com. With that, we'll move on to Andrew, and he had a keyboard shortcut question that we're going to try and answer for him.
Hi, John and Dave. This is Andrew from Nova Scotia, Canada. I'm a pretty new Mac user. I've only had my MacBook Pro for a couple of months now, but the transition's going pretty smoothly. The only problem is I'm a pretty habitual keyboard shortcut user, and I'm very grateful for the coverage you had on how to turn that complete access feature on. But my question is this: how can I bind a keyboard shortcut to open a program? I'd like to have some easy key combination to bring up a new terminal window, for example.
Sure.
It's an outstanding podcast. You guys have exceptional quality, and your hard work is very much appreciated. Thanks a lot.
Well, comments like that will get you, well, get your question answered. You know, when I heard this, I immediately jumped to third-party apps. Do you know of any way to do this just with the OS in and of itself, John?
No. I haven't tried it, but okay. I mean, there is the keyboard shortcut section, the keyboard and mouse preferences, but I don't know if it'll get you down to the application level. I haven't tried it, so
okay.
I guess my answer is I don't know.
Okay.
But it sounds like you know.
I do.
Well,
commercial
options.
Yeah, there are some commercial options. And one of them is a program that you've probably all heard of called Quick Keys. This is, you know, the cat's meow as far as keyboard shortcuts go. It has its own little scripting thing built into it and will allow you to basically do anything you want from launching a keyboard shortcut. It's a little... I've never personally found a need for all of that, and I've used something called Keyboard Maestro, which is it's sort of a lighter version. Although it does some different things, it sits kind of sits as a daemon on the machine, so it's always kind of there in the background, and you can use it to launch Apple scripts, which then could be told to open apps and open new windows, or you know, jump to an app and close this window and open that one. One thing I use Keyboard Maestro for on my PowerBooks and MacBook, one key that's sorely missing is a one-click page up and page down key, right? You've got to hold down function and do it that way with those keyboards. And I just find that annoying because when I sit at my desk, I've got page up and page down keys on my external keyboard, and I like that. So what I did was I mapped a couple of the function keys, and I had to move Exposé out of the way when they released that. But I believe I've got F11 and F12 on my MacBook Pro now to do F11 does page up and F12 does page down. And it's awesome because I can just pop around, and I do that with Keyboard Maestro. So presumably you'd be able to do the same thing, Andrew, for that. Do you have any other thoughts about that, John? Or
no thoughts.
No thoughts. Zero? Nothing? Oh, my goodness. There were a couple of other apps that we found. Did you check either of these apps out, John? KeyQ or XCuts?
browse them, but I'll leave it to you.
All right. KeyQ is actually pretty cool. It allows you to, you hold down, I'm trying to make sure I'm doing the right program here, that I'm not confusing things, because I've got too much stuff going on here. KeyQ, you hold down the command key, and if you hold it down for more than, say, I think you can set it, but you know, I've got it set at like 5 seconds. And if you've got it down that long, all of a sudden, kind of an overlay, an alpha channel window will pop up showing you all of the keyboard shortcuts available in whatever application you're in. And really, really cool stuff. It's available for, you know, download as a shareware app, and it only shows you some of the keyboard shortcuts when you are in shareware mode, but you can unlock it. I think it's like $15 or something. And then you get the whole thing. It's really, really, really handy. Just like I said, just hold down the command key and bam, this thing pops up kind of overlaid on whatever app you're running. And then you can pick the keyboard shortcut and away you go. So that's KeyQ. And XCuts is a dashboard widget that shows you a whole lot of different things, and it's actually searchable. So that's another handy little app that I've found. Did you find any?
Yeah, and
go ahead.
I'll toss in one other kind of handy thing, which you may not think of, but you know, there is, as I referred to in the past, that poor person that writes the Mac help.
Yeah.
And if you go to the Mac help, it's funny because what I was looking for showed up in an unexpected place, but if you do keyboard shortcuts, it doesn't show up in actual help files, but it shows up. It links to an article, so you have to be online, similar to what we were just talking about. You have to be online, but it'll get an article that, as far as I can tell, points to the article that you could also find using a browser and going to the Apple Support database, and it gives you a pretty thorough list of commonly used ones, and then it links to related articles. So it looks like they beef up the help system a bit. You know, it's not only accessing what's in your local machine, but it's also reaching out online if you're connected.
That's smart.
And actually, a lot of the sites or pages we're going to put in the show notes are also accessible from the Mac Help facility if you do search for keyboard shortcuts. So thought I'd toss that one in there.
Yeah, no, that's good. Yeah, and you're right. The show notes, whenever you get around to doing them, we'll have a ton of resources here that include far more than what we'll be going through in the show. We've been researching this show for a while. You know, we knew in the back of our heads that we were going to do this. So anytime I found anything to do with keyboard shortcuts, I just dumped it into a little folder in Yojimbo here and just let it kind of build up. And a couple weeks ago, I was looking at it and I thought, yeah, we got enough. So, so I have all those links and we'll put them in the show notes so that John will add what he's found too. So that way we're in good shape. Should we take Jim's question? Even though I don't know that we have a specific answer for it, it might lead into a decent discussion here. So Jim, are you there? Damn, Jim.
Hi guys, this is Jim. I am calling about a Mac issue that I have. Currently I have a Belkin KVM switch with four ports on the back of it connected to two Windows boxes and two Macs, a Mac server and a Mac DNS server, and then a Windows server and a Windows XP Pro box. My issue is I use a Windows compatible keyboard, and the Belkin box has a switch to it where if you press scroll lock two times, it will allow you to switch between screens. The problem comes when I'm in with the Macs. The Macs, when you press scroll lock on the Windows keyboard, automatically comes up the screen, do you want to sleep, shut down, restart, and that is not what I want to see on either of my two servers. I have looked on countless postings on the internet, looked through Google. Nothing on there has told me what that particular button does. As far as I can see, maybe it's like F15 on the Mac, but it does not act the same way with a Mac. So the problem is with that scroll lock. I press it one time, it comes up with the shutdown button. I have yet to turn one down or restart one, but the likelihood of that happening is will increase. as I use it. Thank you for your time. You can email me.
Okay. Yeah, that's an interesting one. Do you have any thoughts off the top of your head, John?
Oh, one thought is that while I was researching for the show, there are definitely some issues with getting certain keystrokes through a KVM switch.
That's right.
And you and I both found an article in the knowledge base that basically says, certain combos are not going to get through. And my initial thought, I've worked with various different KVM boxes. The one thing I would try to do is there a way? And some of the ones I've worked with, to change, so you're not locked into a certain key combo.
Sure.
You may have these, different keyboards and all that. So, I don't know the specific one, and I actually haven't, I don't have one personally here.
Right.
I've used a different one. So hopefully there's a way to get in there and change what keyboards are going to let it hear you.
Yep.
That'd be one thing I'd try. But what are your thoughts?
Well, I'm going to guess that he has checked with Belkin to see if there's some driver issue or, that some driver he can install. But if not, then, that would be, one thing to check. The other thing is, I think Keyboard Maestro actually may be maybe an option here because it will let you sort of intercept a lot of that stuff. I'm not sure if it will let you intercept that particular keystroke there, but I wouldn't be surprised. It may be able to grab that before before it pops up the shutdown window. And if you can, you could map it to something or simply nothing, and that may be the trick there. Keyboard Maestro is pretty cool. It's like I said, well worth checking out. It's something I've had on my machine, I think, even since the OS 9 days, if that's possible. And I believe it is. Yeah. So that would be my thing to check out. 206-666-GEEK is the number that both Andrew and Jim called to leave their messages. And you can do that too. Or you can email them to macgeekgab@macobserver.com. What else do we have here, John? Is there anything we talked about the KVM stuff? What other, now that we've gotten through some of that stuff, what are some other keyboard shortcuts that you found that you find useful and perhaps, not necessarily on the beaten path?
Well, here's one that I found quite by accident.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how I found it. I think I was fumbling around to try to do, one that I'll talk about soon.
Okay.
But I actually accidentally hit...
You're teasing us, John.
Yeah, well. But I just don't want to, hog all the time here. Because then I have to talk about two, and I don't want to do that.
Go ahead.
Can I do that? I'm going to talk about two.
Talk about two.
I think it was when I was trying to use Command Tab, which switches among... And I assume that most people know how to do this, especially if you come from the Windows world, where it's Alt Tab. But basically, Command Tab lets you switch through all your active running applications.
Right.
And they've changed the way this happens depending on the version of OS X they're using. But the current version is pretty nice. So it has a thing that comes up over everything else, and every time you hit Command Tab, it will switch over to the next app. A little secret here is that if you hit Command Q, it'll quit whatever the highlighted app is. So if you really need to quit a whole bunch of applications very quickly, this is a nice way to do it.
Okay, so wait a minute. But you've got to keep... You have to keep the command key held down and then simply hit... Okay, so you keep the command key held down, you hit tab, you get to the app you want, and then still with the command key down, you just tap Q, and away it goes.
Yeah.
Really?
I thought that was kind of useful.
I didn't know that.
And there may be other... I haven't experimented. Maybe I will one day.
Okay.
It may be kind of dangerous, but maybe there are other things. So, so if you hold out Command and you do Tab, it switches the app. If you do Q, it quits it. There may be other things you could do that I don't know about.
There are. I know of one. If you hit Command, the whatever's below the tilde, the reverse apostrophe, whatever it is. So if you hold down the Command key and you hit Tab first and you start cycling through apps and, you went past one, if you go up and hit that whatever that key is, it actually goes, it cycles backwards through it in reverse. Yeah.
Look at you. That's good.
Yeah. That's not bad, isn't it? Not bad for one. Another one I found, and it makes use of those oft forgotten function keys at the top of the screen. If you hit Control, now not Command, but Control and F4, it will cycle between all the open windows in all of the apps. So not just app to app, but it actually starts cycling window to window all of your apps. Does it work?
Huh.
Isn't that something?
What was that one again?
Control F4. And it'll start cycling windows of all of your apps that are open.
Control F4?
Yeah.
It's not doing it on my machine. Control function F4.
Ah, are you on your PowerBook?
Yes.
Okay.
Control function F4.
Well, your function on the PowerBook, unless by default, the function keys actually take their alternate functions, right? Of the brightness and contrast and all that stuff. On a desktop machine, by default, the function keys just take their being there as function keys. You can, however, in the keyboard shortcuts, I think there is a way somehow. I thought it was in keyboard and mouse. Oh, of course, I'm not on a laptop now, so that option's not going to present itself. But if you're on a laptop, you can change that so that the function keys act as function keys or as their counterparts, and then the FN key on the keyboard toggles between the two. You want one more with the function keys, John?
Yes.
Control F3, or on a laptop with its default settings, Control FN F3 will turn the dock on and off.
Ooh.
You like that?
Good one. And kind of related to the one that you just brought up.
Wait a minute. Control F3. I think that's it, right? Does that do it? Yeah, that does it. Yeah, absolutely. Control F3. What were you going to say, John?
Well, the one I wanted to mention, because you were talking about going to Windows, as far as I can tell, this is like a not global version, but a command. This is the one that I stumbled across accidentally. Mm-hmm. Command Shift Tilde.
Okay.
Will cycle the active windows in the current application.
Okay.
It won't bop around, so sure. We kind of came across complementary. So if you don't want to go cycling through all your apps, then you would do Command Shift Tilde. And I don't know why I slipped, and instead of tab, I hit.
Yeah.
It was a mess.
So if you're listening to this in your car, invariably, some of you are going to want to go back and listen to this again, at least this section of the show, again, sitting at your computer. And if you're at your computer, do this. Command, Option, Control, and then hit 8. Did you do it, John?
Command?
Command, Option.
Option.
Control, and 8. Not F8, just 8.
Oh, isn't that funky?
Yeah, it inverts all your screen colors, so white becomes black, and then everything else kind of bounces around.
Oh. Well, that's kind of useful.
It could be. I could see that being useful in the dark or on an airplane or something where the lighting is non-optimal. I can see that actually being quite useful. So maybe out in the sun, really, where things get washed out on the screen, if you did that, it might actually make a difference. So that's one of my... That's one of my favorite ones. And speaking of 8, of course, Control F8 pops open your first menu extra in the menu bar, and then you can navigate through them with the keyboard. So Control F8, and then you can navigate through all your menu extras, menu meters, and your
with the arrow keys.
Yes, okay. Correct. And then return will select whatever you got there. You got something else for me, John?
Well, I want to do a little detail on one that we talked about before. And I think you know something about this, too. But I was talking about where you hold on Option when you boot the machine.
Right.
Actually, I came across some different things. So I'm sorry. If we're talking about ejecting media, now, Apple actually recommends a couple of different things you could try. One is that you, of course, hold down the mouse button like we talked before. But another is that you enter this thing called open firmware.
Oh, I thought it was the Twilight Zone.
Well, I was kind of leading up to it with that.
Right.
But you've probably messed with open firmware in the past, right?
That's right.
I don't think that's in the Intel Macs. I think we're just talking the PowerPC Macs. I think they may have actually changed this. I'm not sure. You can tell me.
No, open firmware has been there on PowerPC Macs as well.
But I don't know if it's in the Intel ones.
Oh.
Actually, I'm looking at a menu here, and it says, at least in this article, it says it's not an Intel. Intel's using a different platform.
Intel uses
platform.
Something else. That's right.
But here's something you can do is when you start up the machine, you hold down Command, Option, O, as in Oscar, F as in Frank.
Franklin.
Which stands for Open Firmware. So it's easy to remember. And instead of seeing graphics, what you'll see is a lot of text. And it's this thing called Open Firmware, and it's not too helpful, at least my version. If you type help, it doesn't know. It's very bare bones. But if you say eject space CD, it will eject your CD. So this is another way.
That's right. And this is before the OS loads, before anything happens. This is all burned into the machine. So
And then what you do to continue is you then type mac-boot, and it will continue the boot process. So this is something that's in the early stage of the system. Now, it kind of brings up a related issue, is that having that ability for someone to get to that level, and also to run the startup manager that I talked about, is something you may not want people to do, especially if you have a portable. So there is this very nice utility that will provide an open firmware password.
Remember the password if you set one, though.
Yes.
My favorite is always Boris has the microfilm. That's my favorite password.
Yeah, so, everybody likes that.
Everybody uses that. That's right.
Or Natasha, depending. Boris and Natasha. Right. Some people will remember, know what we're talking about.
That's right. So we've got references to that, to Rod Serling. And then, of course, because of the topic of the show, Mr. Clarence Carter. So what else can we do in open firmware?
Well, what I wanted to, it's messing around with devices and showing, you know, RAM and stuff like that. You can find some references online. Yeah. But what I wanted to mention was that if you do want to protect against giving people the ability to choose the device that they should boot from, there is an application that you can install. And depending on the Mac, I just looked online, if you have, I think 10.3.9 or prior, you can download it. If you have 10.4 or greater, it's actually on your Tiger install CD. And it's a little application called, not surprisingly, oh gosh, where is it here? I think it's Open Firmware Password.
Yeah.
What that does is changes your machine, so if someone does try to boot from it and they're holding down try to go into the startup manager, it'll ask for a password first.
Very good.
If you don't provide the password, you're SOL.
Very good.
Now, there's also a reset password utility that you have to... So I don't think this is a foolproof way of protecting your machine, but it'll keep away the casual users who would like to get at your machine.
There you go.
So, just thought I'd go down that open firmware path.
Oh, that's a good path. I'll add something to it. If you're having trouble with your Mac and resetting the PRAM command option PR at boot... doesn't solve it, you can also try resetting the NVRAM, which is done by doing this command option OF, go to open firmware, and then type reset dash NVRAM and enter, and that will do that too. So
now I seem to recall a reset all. I'm not sure.
No,
about that.
That's right.
I'll research that.
A reset hyphen all. That's right. Reset dash NVRAM and then reset hyphen all. Yeah. And
I think that clears out
the same thing. Yeah.
Any of the information that may have gotten corrupted and prevents your Mac from starting up. But you want to be careful. I mean, OS, open firmware is it doesn't say are you sure, and it doesn't hold your hand. You could really damage things in there. So be careful out there.
One of my favorite things to use, and I guess this show is a perfect time to talk about this little catchphrase. But in the consulting world, I often used the term that there was an error between the chair and the keyboard, right? Meaning that it was operator error.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, today we had a little error between the chair and the microphone, as it were. I sat here and read this control F3. And I said to you that hides and shows the dock. That doesn't. And that's not what I had written down. It control F3 is dock keyboard control, much like the menu extra keyboard control with control F8. You can control the dock and everything in it with the keyboard if you do control F3. To hide and show the dock is command option D. So I don't know how I sat here and read one thing and said another, but yet I did. And it's the proof's on the tape. So
D as in dope.
That's right. but I'll make it up to you. Can I make it up to you now?
Yes.
Really? Did you know that your Mac has two clipboards, kind of?
No.
Normally, if you select text and then do Command X, it will cut, or Command C will copy it, and either one of those puts it on the clipboard, and then Command V will paste it. Well, if you're in any Cocoa app, there is something that's very common in the Unix side of things that they bundled into OS X, and I had no idea about it until I started researching this show. If you're on any line and you hit Control, not Command, Control K, it will take the contents of that line and cut them and put them into, let's call it an alternate clipboard. It'll be the Cocoa clipboard. And then Control Y pastes it back. But you don't highlight anything. It takes the entire contents of from where the cursor is to the end of the line. So if you're at the beginning of the line and do it, the whole line goes. If you're in the middle of the line, it's only the second half of the line that goes. If you just keep hitting it, if you just keep doing Control K on multiple lines, it will take them all, put them all into a buffer, and then Control Y, and bam, out it comes. So very handy, something I use constantly, almost daily, on the Unix side in editors like Nano and Pico, but never, ever thought to use it in a Cocoa app on the Mac, and yet there it is right there. So it won't work in Word, because Word is, of course, Carbon, not Cocoa. So just bear that in mind, but fascinating little stuff that we find.
Yeah, I just tried it. It works.
I know.
Amazing.
I was blown away. And really, really handy, because there's so many times when I want to use an alternate clipboard. And there are many apps out there, of course, that will add that functionality to your Mac. But interesting to know that it's sitting right there. I got one more. In iTunes, you're playing a song, right? You've got your songs going, and then you start managing things. You start going into your playlist and looking at other stuff, but you don't ever change the song. It just keeps playing. Maybe you're downloading podcasts. Maybe you're surfing through the music store, and then you think, gosh, I want to go back to this song. And you got to think about how to navigate there, right? I mean, I know we've all been there. It doesn't happen every day, but it's one of those things where you think, gosh, where am I? I got to go back to the library and find that song. No matter where you are in iTunes, Command L. Bam, brings you right back to wherever that currently playing song is. Uh-huh. See? This is worth the price of admission right here. This is it. This is the good stuff, folks. I'm out. I'm good on the keyboard shortcuts. You got anything else, John?
You're good?
I'm good. Yeah. I mean, we're 37 minutes here. This is, we're rocking.
Yeah, I think I covered almost all. Yeah, one more.
Go.
Very, very quick. You got something highlighted in the Finder. You want to toss it in the trash. Command-Delete.
Right.
You want to empty the trash. So say you like to keep an empty trash, which most of us do.
Okay.
Command-Shift-Delete empties the trash.
Sweet.
This only from the Finder, of course. But,
and then, and wait, could you add the Option key to that to delete locked files without pestering you?
I suppose you could.
Hey, well, there you go.
That's like super delete. Yeah, that's
super uber delete. That's right.
Uber.
So I want to jump to this quickly just to make sure everyone knows. 10.4.8, of course, came out while we were at PME, and we talked very briefly about it, especially when talking about the Mac Pro that Ricky Spiro of the Mac Observer's Weekly Roundup podcast has. And we mentioned that there were rumors of changes to Rosetta in 10.4.8. It's huge. I had given up on Word and Excel on my MacBook Pro and was using NeoOffice, right? The NeoOffice Aqua version 3 or beta 3 or whatever it is, which is nice. It's OpenOffice. And one cool thing about that is it's Office XP on your Mac, effectively. It's not Office for the Mac. So there's some features that are slightly different because it's much closer to Office XP than it is to Office for the Mac. The downside to NeoOffice is it's one application with everything, and it's got Access, Word, Excel, PowerPoint. It's just loaded. So it does take some time to load, but even still, it was faster than loading Word or Excel. With 10.4.8, I'm back to Word and Excel. It was like a 200 meg download. I'm pretty sure, and this is just conjecture, and I think you were saying the same thing, John. They replaced Rosetta, or at least a good chunk of it, and it's way, way faster. Maybe
a big big difference between the, well, that's where I think we suspected there was a difference, which I've noticed as of late, is that you'll have the PowerPC version of a software update and then the Intel version. And the Intel versions, the last few that I've seen are always larger.
Yeah.
Because I think they're doing more, you know,
they've got more to
the plumbing.
Yeah, that's right. So it's great. It much faster, less of a RAM footprint from what I can tell. It's not chewing up nearly as much virtual memory. When I run Word and Excel, I'm not compelled to quit them when I'm not using them. So very, 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 very good job there. Now, maybe it's not all Rosetta performance. Maybe now they're targeting in and saying, okay, let's look at the apps that people are using, Word, Excel, maybe Photoshop, you know, those kinds of things. And really tweaking Rosetta to make those shine, and who knows, right? This is conjecture. But
pop open the package and see what they're replacing.
Yeah, I could do that. I can't do it right now, but you know, I could.
Yeah. Now, did you do this at the hotel?
No, that hotel.
Were you the one sucking down all the bandwidth?
No, it was you. You were downloading all that Battlestar Galactica stuff.
And it was well worth it because I had something to watch in the airport.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't know if you watched the first episode.
Yes, I did. In fact, we started doing TV show reviews at iPod Observer. So we've got some that I don't watch, but that's okay. Degrassi, I think, and then we're doing the Flashback Friday thing. But we are doing Battlestar Galactica and Lost. And there's one other, and I really should know this, but I don't. So Battlestar Galactica and Lost. We've got someone, the reviews come out the day after the show airs, and lots of comments, and of course, you know, I mean, especially with Lost, where pretty much you're lost. Nice to have a little community of people. So very, very cool. If you're watching either one of those shows, please come over to iPod Observer, check it out, and chime in on whatever it is you think. So very, very good. What else do we have here? I don't know what we're doing for the show next week, to be honest with you.
You got any thoughts?
Yeah, send in your thoughts. We've got a very full mailbag here, so that's actually most likely go back to what has become a kind of a normal show for us.
The never empty. The mailbag will never be empty.
I hope not. You know, I mean, when we started this, I didn't know how long we'd be doing this kind of thing. It was really an experiment and an excuse to have some fun with audio and that sort of thing. And it's you folks that have kept it going, frankly. If it was up to John and I to come up with all the topics and all the content every week, we'd have run out by now. There's
forget
no question.
About it.
Right. Forget about it. But having the interaction.
Forget about it.
But having the interaction with you guys has been the key to keeping this thing going. And so far, so good. So.
And we even met some of you at the show.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know about the person that jumped in the pool with their clothes on. And yes, they did. I'm not kidding.
Oh,
you
got
to come to this show. It's just nuts.
It is nuts. Yeah.
It was a good barbecue, too.
It was good barbecue. It was good. Timing-wise, dinner in Ontario, California is always a fiasco. Come to the show. It's a lot of fun. But you need to know, I've been in Ontario, six, maybe seven nights in the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. Dinner is always a fiasco. Just accept that. If you think you're going to eat at 6, you're going to eat at about 8:30. It's just how it works. I you know what I started doing when I travel, and this isn't because of Ontario, but I started packing little packets of oatmeal in my suitcase because with the coffee machine, like hot water, bam, instant oatmeal, good to go. So,
because you know we were really looking forward to the first night eating at that Indian place that we ate at, and we thought it was kind of empty until we noticed the
health department
health
sticker.
Department warning on the door saying. Yeah.
Don't eat
stay
here
away.
Effectively. Yeah, that's right. So, let's see. What do we have here? I know I've got something to talk about.
No more Portable Media Expo.
No, we don't have to talk about that.
Cashfly,
of course, is where you've downloaded this. And thanks to Matt for everything. It was a pleasure finally getting to meet you at the show face to face, as it were. Remember, the podcast marketplace has the 6i Isolator earphones from Edemotic, the A5 desktop speakers from Audio Engine, and TeachMac from TeachMac.com. Backbeat Media, the Backbeat Media Podcast Network is where you can go to sponsor this show. We are, of course, proud members. And come play Nation States with us if you're not there already. We're growing. We're growing. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of fun. John's really trying to become the delegate now, so he may be soliciting for votes. So hey, you know, that's
there
a good
be
thing.
Something in it for you if you vote for me.
Oh. Right. 206-666-GEEK, MacGeekGab at MacObserver.com. Gmail invites, yes, although they don't seem to be replenishing as much as they used to.
No, but I still got a boatload.
Yeah, me too. Skype to MacGeekGab.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Don't get caught.
Made up.